from KQED.
On Friday afternoons, this is usually where you'll find Chris Anderson, out by the Berkeley Marina, flying drones.
So that's just freaking cool, right?
For Anderson, this is serious stuff. He quit his job as editor-in-chief of Wired magazine to build 3D robotics. The do-it-yourself drone company based in San Diego won't do military projects. That's part of the compact it has with about 40,000 developers in its online community. A few of them are here today, testing a 2-pound fixed-wing airplane that's carrying a near-infrared camera, which is just a regular point-and-shoot with the plastic filter popped off.
Our eyes are like the worst eyes in the animal kingdom. And so the cameras have been sort of crippled to resemble the human eye, because we expect pictures to look like what we see. So we just basically uncrippled these cameras so they can see the world the way an insect would see it.
This mini airplane with a 2.5-foot wingspan is different from remote-controlled planes because it's flying without a human operator. It's following GPS coordinates plugged in before takeoff. Other drones track moving objects on the ground using sensors.
The more autonomous, the more drone-like they are.
The infrared camera drone darts back and forth in a lawnmower pattern, 150 feet above the grass. It's reporting its position to a laptop and snapping pictures to stitch together a high-resolution map of the marina. Okay, that's not something the world desperately needs, but Anderson says farmers could use these kinds of images for crop surveys to figure out what plants need water.
A healthy plant will absorb the red light but reflect the infrared. But as the chlorophyll is damaged, it'll start to reflect the red as well. And so the ratio of the infrared and the red tells you the health of the plant.
The application isn't quite ready for prime time. Anderson's still working on getting his drones to tell up from down. Also, it's illegal to fly drones for profit. The Federal Aviation Administration is expected to pass regulations by 2015. Anderson says the camera on a drone is far more regulated than the one in his iPhone.
We've seen what camera phones have done to spread cameras everywhere, except for in the sky. The sky's empty.
There are going to be people upset enough by these drones that they're going to figure out countermeasures.
Paul Saffo is a technology forecaster in Silicon Valley.
Whether it's shining lasers into their sensor systems or perhaps a shotgun with a nice tight choke on it.
Drones could be used for search and rescue or to drop medicine in remote villages or to scan forests for smoke and potentially calamitous fires. Saffo says they could also be the next killer app for police spying on homes and teenage boys peeking into the girls' locker room. Lawmakers in California and other states that allow self-driving cars are drafting bills to limit self-driving aerial vehicles. Saffo isn't convinced privacy is the issue.
When automobiles first arrived a century ago, there were cities that required somebody walking in front of the automobile with a red flag warning off horses and riders. Well, it turned out that wasn't an issue. But traffic jams were an issue, and nobody imagined traffic jams.
Raja Sengupta gets to avoid some of the controversy by taking his drone flights out to sea.
Just imagine if the Titanic had a drone in front of it.
Sengupta is the go-to drones professor at UC Berkeley's engineering school. He and three of his students are at Oakland's Lake Merritt, testing small drones that could help merchant ships avoid collisions with whales.
We did a project with a Shell Oil company using drones, and as I understand it, they pay people to sit in Cessnas and fly around and count whales. I mean, this is, you know, some part of the money we are putting into the gas tank.
A leading drones industry group estimates drones will generate $82 billion and 100,000 jobs in a decade after they go commercial. Sengupta says the more important number may be the cost of building a drone. It's cheap. His student Hao Chen is mounting a camera, one just for the visible spectrum, on a small beat-up drone made of ice cream sticks and styrofoam.
The whole thing is probably about $600-$700.
And the data is worth $5,000.
Chen programs GPS coordinates into the drone and it takes off over the lake. Geese fly away sounding frazzled. And in 2 minutes, the drone is gone, out of sight.
Fortunately, it's a very harmless drone. It has no weapon systems on it. It's nothing like President Obama's drones.
We can sort of see the drone's position on Google Maps. It's stuck in a tree. The National Science Foundation, which has invested $25 million in drone science in the last 5 years, gave Sengupta an NSF-sponsored grad student. He climbs the tree to rescue the drone as though it were a stranded cat.
This is exactly the kind of doctoral student one wants.
does everything from solving a differential equation to climbing a tree.
The propeller broke, but the pictures, the data, survived. Sengupta says that's proof civilian drones will take off. Crashing doesn't put a deep dent in anyone's wallet. For Quest, I'm Aarti Shahani.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, the Wincote Foundation, and the Amgen Foundation.